What's going on, my people? You're listening to The Score, an urban music education podcast hosted by Eric and Justin, where we discuss tips and strategies on how to become a more effective, compassionate, and culturally responsive music educator. What's going on, my people? This is Eric.
And this is Justin.
And we're your hosts for
The Score.
The Score. Welcome to episode 108, Be This and That, a mariachi directing choir with Sean Rodriguez. What's going on, Sean? How you doing, bro?
Good, man. Doing good. How y'all doing?
Doing well. Glad to have you on.
Yeah. Excited to be here.
Yes, sir.
So, Sean, man, hey, we got to put you on game. So we're going to put stuff up front, you know. You've been listening to the podcast for a minute. Now, we've been connecting back and forth on social media, and I've just been honored that I got to see your session at this past TMEA 2024. Can you kind of give the listeners your connection to us and that the development of you presenting at TMEA, just so we can kind of unfold that a little bit in the introduction?
Yeah, for sure. So I guess to kind of tie it back, you know, this is my first podcast interview. So I was like, okay, I'm going to make this like more meta, right? Like this is more inspirational, but I think like it's like, okay, it's bigger, right? I got inspired to do this, but I mean, really it stems from y'all's show, right? So I've been listening to y'all probably since the first couple episodes. Nice. When you started putting it out, I think, I started seeing the guests that y'all were bringing on. I don't know if I saw it through Instagram or just through, you know, through friends or stuff. But I, you know, I've been listening for a long time. I've seen, you know, the choral people come on. I'm friends with Cody Raven Morris. Y'all had on before.
Yeah.
My wife, I was telling Eric, my wife's from Houston. So, when you had, Chavello on, I don't even know his real name, but when you had Chavello on, Daisy, the accordion violinist too. And, you know, I'm friends with those guys too. So, you know, I've tuned into the episodes, pretty frequently. And then when y'all threw out the Don't Wait, Create episode, I knew I'd been holding on to this, I guess this idea to help out. And I think Justin had the really good line, was like the see a need, fill a need. Mm. And so if you see something that, you know, whatever your community needs, like, you know, give that fill in, do what you can for that community. And, you know, I've been a choir director for 10 years now. And when I first started, I did choir and mariachi at the middle school I started at. So, I always had like, you know, a foot in, and, you know, on both sides. And, you know, I've always gone to these mariachi clinics, and there's been good ones, and there's some that are just, you know, okay. And I was, you know, this, you know, those ones where people start walking out halfway through, like, oh man, if they, you just throw them a line, like this is good stuff. But like, you know, so, I know that they've always had a need for just vocal clinics and mariachi. And I've seen my colleagues, you know, I don't want to say struggle, but, you know, have that need to improve their vocal skills and their, you know, their pedagogy on that side. So, I've always, you know, it's my first love, mariachi is my first love. So I was like, hey, I'm gonna throw something back. I have things that I know could be helping out. And, especially with people that don't have those, you know, top-notch singers and musicians and that access to that talent pool. So, you know, I heard the episode, I was like, okay, this is the time. Let me go ahead and try to throw something out there. I'm doing my proposal and it was accepted. And it was a little scary when it happened, and I threw everything together and, it went pretty good. You know, I got pretty good feedback from my colleagues and everything.
I'm going to redirect them. It went really well. I was in the room, bro. Bro, and he did not have people walking out. So, you know what I mean? Actually, I will admit, I walked out like the last 2 minutes because I had an appointment at the booth. Like, I literally like kind of sprinted back to the exhibit room floor. But no, man, it was outstanding. I learned a lot. And I would agree with him, especially if you're an instrumentalist coming over from, you know, the band world or the orchestra world, and now you're being tasked to teach mariachi, and you're like, man, I ain't never sang in front of people. You know, it's like, and now you're tasked to do the same thing. So I completely agree about the need, and the way you presented it was outstanding, man. And I gotta acknowledge that, because you even talked about some culturally relevant approaches that might be happening, specifically about the corridos tumbados sound, that some of the kids might be emulating already on their own outside of the classroom, and they might be bringing that into mariachi. And I like how you said it was kind of like it's its own context, right? It's like, if you want that, you bring the voice forward. And if you, but honest, and he even said, like, that's not my preference, and it's really not the style of mariachi. So I actually encourage, and he was just and I like the way he presented everything about it, man, because that's what's happening. You know, these kids want to sound like Javi, right? You know, and they want to sound like these folks like Junior H, and which is fine in its context, right? But this context specifically has a certain approach, man. So I'm amping him up, man. It was really dope. And he had some folks that I recognize are some of the better well-known names in mariachi throughout our state of Texas in his clinic, and they didn't walk out either. So, you know, that already awesome. Says, you know what I'm saying? But
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man, dope stuff, man. But tell us about your background. I know you mentioned I'm mariachi, so take us there. Like, where did you get your start? And we would like to know about your upbringing too, and where you're at now.
For sure. You know, like I said, I'm from San Marcos. We're kind of chatting it up a little bit before that too. I'm Chicano. You know, I'm not Mexicano. I'm not Paisano, man. I grew up, my parents are from the same city. You know, I think my grandma's also from like down the street in Lockhart or something like that. Like even then, you know, we're Chicano, we're Texan. So, I grew up listening to a lot of music. My dad's an untrained musician. He played a lot of like rock and like blues and stuff like that.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Growing up. So I was always, you know, in his practices or his jam sessions. And then, so I grew, my love for music comes really from my dad. He just, I don't know if I've ever met a guy who loves music more than my dad.
Nice.
And, you know, doesn't read, he can't sing worth a lick. I don't think he'll won't get his feelings hurt me saying that, but that guy sits down and he's like, scales, you got, one you know, time. Scales, yeah. Scales, scales. And if you do this scale, I'm like, you're right, man. Like it's fit, you know?
Nice.
So
nice.
My love of music comes from my dad. You know, I played a lot of sports growing up too. So I always had the same thing. I was always just kind of doing a couple of things. And, by the time I got to high school, I was still playing football. And, but I knew I did not, no offense, I knew I did not want to do my marching band. I was playing trumpet.
No offense taken.
It's all good, baby.
I was playing trumpet, and I was like, well, I can either do jazz band or I could do mariachi band. And, basically the kids there were like, oh, hey, we need someone in mariachi. So come on. So I just kind of told me to be there. And,
nice.
And that's where, you know, my love for mariachi kind of grew. I had the presider from my clinic, Frank DeLeon, he was one of our first directors. We kind of had like a little hodgepodge of part-time directors there at the high school, but he was like my first like real main director, and you know, inspired my love of music and mariachi, just and of teaching too. It's just a really good leader that kind of took us through that. After that, I knew I wanted to study music, but it wasn't until really, I guess, after I graduated, Texas State now has the mariachi music minor.
Yeah.
You know, there was only a couple universities that had even just mariachi ensembles, period. So I knew I wanted to study music. I didn't really have a main instrument. I joined choir at the end of high school. So I went to Our Lady of the Lake first, and really just to play mariachi. I started singing there with a choir and studied voice. And that's when I kind of, you know, started loving singing a lot more. And then I hung around in San Antonio just because I was gigging a lot around here, and I was enjoying the scene and everything. So I stuck around, did the community college thing for a year at San Antonio College. Kept singing again with the choir. I had a good voice teacher there, Evelyn De Oliveira, and she directed me to audition at different places that I was not even like trying to, hey, go audition at UNT, go audition at Baylor, go audition at Texas State, go, you know, everything, right? Hit the whole spectrum of everything. So I ultimately landed at Texas State because of, you know, I had my foot in both the choir and singing and mariachi. So went to Texas State, grew, same thing, grew my love for that. And for both genres, that's when I really got into my choral stuff, and under Dr. Joey Martin, Dr. Jonathan Babcock, Dr. Lynn Brinkmeyer, all of our the faculty that I have there were, you know, just got me really to love teaching choir. I still have my love for mariachi. I got my first gig here in Northeast ISD, actually down the road from our house right now. And I did kind of the same thing. Like I was a jack of all trades. So I came on because I was able to teach mariachi and be the assistant choir director and help with a little bit of strings too.
Nice.
And so I did both for a little while, turned into the head director there. And about 5 years down the road, I came over to Southwest Legacy, my current school. I'm doing high school now, and I'm just doing choir now. I share the room with mariachi still. We just got our bond passed last year, so eventually I'm getting my own room. But we're still holding it down, moving the piano back and forth, and I hear the mariachi all the time, you know, when I'm rehearsing. And you know, like I probably said in the clinic too, you know, I hear these things, and the director's my buddy too, so I'm always kind of feeding him something, and he's feeding me something too, because he's been in
Nice.
choir before. And so I
That's
just
awesome.
got so that's the I guess my final landing point right now, or just what I'm doing right now. Yeah.
And are you still gigging with
That's
mariachi?
not right now, man. So my wife is really active. My wife plays vihuela and
Okay.
she sings too. So she
Nice.
plays with a group here in San Antonio, Mariachi Las Salteñas, the all-female group here in town. So she's
Nice.
the one that's super active, and we have a 10-month-old daughter right now. So she's the gigging one. I'm the stay-at-home daddy on the weekends. So
Shout
I
out to
take
the
the
stay-at-home dads. Shout out to us. All right.
Hey, it's work,
Yeah,
man.
for sure. For sure. I need a check. But anyway,
The benefits, do they come
Yeah.
in, you know? Man, man, that's quite an upbringing. And
Right.
even in when you described your upbringing, I heard the title of the episode, right? It was literally like, I'm this, but I'm also that. But I'm this in this season of my life, but I'm also that. And I can do this, but I can also do that. And I think, man, and it kind of broke my heart to hear this past weekend, where got to chat up with some parents at the Texas Association of Mariachi Education State Contest. Shout out to all our friends there. And I was talking to parents about, you know, their son was here in Houston ISD and started off on trumpet and was doing the band and mariachi thing, and did a gig with his band director at a church, and the band director went back and told the kid, like, you sound too mariachi. And I was like, you know, and I was like, I get what the director was trying to say, and he delivered the message wrong. You know, I was like, because the kid, yes, might have been incorporating more of a vibrato that reflects more of the style of mariachi, or articulating just a little stronger. But that's a teaching moment, right? And it's like, hey, for this context, try to use a little bit less, or a little less wider vibrato. Let's narrow it down a little bit. And, you know, because again, it's about context, right? And I think that really just, and I even told the parents, like, I get what the director was trying to say, but what happened, the kid said, I don't ever want to go play again with them. I just want to do mariachi,
Yeah.
you
That's
know?
that those are formative experiences, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's hard, dude. Like, I guess when you're used to that style, it's hard, especially when you're in your teenage years, because I've had those experiences too, singing. And like, I would go audition you know, for a choir or for a part, and they're like, oh, you're super bright. Like, you're super. I'm like, well, that's my voice, man. Like, I don't know what to tell
Right.
you. Like,
Right.
hearing, you know, if I had the, you know, the crystal ball to look into the future and be like, hey, in 7, 8 years, that's going to be like a really good tenor sound, right? Because
Hello,
I'm a tenor
right.
singer. But like, right now, it's just like, that's what I am. Like, it's hard to go back and forth between the two styles. I think that's but yeah, you hear that, and it's like, boom, like, you know, you're shut down, you know, for sure. You know, so you remember those things.
I just think it's amazing that the more and more we talk about music and just listening to your background, that I think it's safe to say that whatever your genesis is, whatever your intro to music is, I think that it shapes you, but I don't think that it paralyzes you from learning something else. I would argue that it actually opens you up to be able to learn those other styles. So if you're coming into the world of mariachi singing and things of those nature, you have this bag of tools that now you can taper off or add more onto. And I think that's part of how that judge or clinician could have voiced that to that student to say, "Hey man, I really like what you're doing. I think you got to learn how to use that tool in this context." And I think what usually happens is we just say, "Oh, that's just, oh man, it's just." You know, for me,
That's not the
church was my,
sound. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah, you know, like church was my introduction. So I approached drums a certain way. I heard it a certain way. But you know, my band director would be like, okay, this isn't Sunday, right? This is Thelonious Monk, or this is a Stan Kenton, you know, whatever the case may be. And then here, listen to this to then say, oh, I know how to do that in this phrase, but I just need to taper off the hi-hat. I need to change the impact of the kick drum. And I think that's when I'm hearing your background, I think you're taking all of that. So your dad is talking about this kind of like foundational approach of scales. You're getting into choir, you're getting this information from the choral side, but you still have this backing and performance side from the mariachi. And I think all of those things together make you who you are now. And I think what judges have to do is what you're doing in real time while you're singing. I'm gonna do this on this note. I'm gonna pull back here. I think that the judges have to say, okay, this student obviously is not just in this box of classical music. They have this other bag that I may not be familiar with, but how can I help them see that that bag makes sense even in this? And I think that's the job of the music educator, because how am I supposed to tear down your entrance? Like, that was your entrance to music. And if I make that null and void, then it also it makes that student, like Eric, say, well, I mean, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Like, this mm-hmm. is what I know. This is what is drawing me, rather than how can I augment, you know, what you're doing, not necessarily diminish it.
Yeah, for sure. And then that's to kind of like go back to that example, because that example happens, you know, often, right? So, especially in choir, because I think that's part of the thing too, is like, I knew if I slapped the vocal sticker on the TMEA presentation, I would get some vocal folks in there too. And I remember, you know, I did, right? I talked to several of them after. And the thing to do, or, you know, the stereotypical thing to do, is be like, hey, you can't be singing the mariachi stuff like that. And in here in the choir, we can't be singing like that. But what I've started to do is, I mean, I'm begging the mariachi kids to come over. One, because I know singing's going to improve their musicianship. Mm-hmm. Two, but I mean, selfishly, those kids are not scared, man.
They're going to sing. Exactly.
Yeah.
They're going to sing. Hold
on, but talk about that real quick, man, because I mean, I know what it is, but I want the listeners to know what would you describe comes that the bravado, that assertiveness, that willingness from mariachi students versus, for lack of better terms, the traditional music student.
So I think just for singing, even for any instrument, right? Like if the trumpet player, that trumpet player is probably playing super brave, the one we're just talking about right now. Yep. He was playing out, you know. I'm sure probably not blending, but he's playing brave. So I like, if I were to take it back to just to vocalists, they are the one singer, you know, for the song. So it's not like they're not trying to blend with other kids. They're not trying to they're not having to you know, they're probably not thinking much about technique. They're just going, boom, I'm the one singer. I'm in the front of this group of 15 or 10 or 8 you know, other kids and players. So I have to be loud. And then, you know, when you go to just gigging musicians, if you go and play at whatever, at Tocadas, they're like, hey, no se oye, no se oye. So just like instinct is to just be loud all the time. Yep. Too. So yep. That's where a lot of it comes from too. So I remember growing up, or like even, you know, in college, that's what really paved my way through several of those years was gigging. I think I gigged like Wednesday through Sunday.
Wow.
At one point when I first got to Texas State. So Wednesday through Sunday to sing like that all the time, I was like, dude, I'm, you know, at some point I realized I'm not going to make it to my lesson, you know, on Tuesday, if I just like sang Wednesday through Sunday a couple hours at a time, singing out the whole time. So you have to learn how to take it back. But I mean, if you start out with that, you know, I was never scared to do, you know, anything. I'm singing in front of all these people, even, you know, on stage, or in front of like 10 people that, you know, that know the song up and down. You know, you got to know your stuff, you know?
Yeah, I think pulling from people's influences and what they already are doing. Like, I would always tell my kids, especially in percussion, like I had kids that were experimenting with, you know, I had a portion of kids was like, well, I make beats outside of school. You know, I'm experimenting with, you know, syncopation and all of that. And then I had kids who played drums. I had played at church. I had kids who played drums in their, you know, they're from the Latino community. So they had a family band that they were playing drums in, and they played totally different. I'm like, the very thing you do there, bring that here. I can help taper that off, rather than saying, oh, we don't do that here. Mm. Why am I creating two different things when me as an educator, I always say this, as much as I love the academy, my training ground was the Missionary Baptist Church. You know what I'm saying? That's where I got in context, or got in contact with, you know, what are dynamics? What's a, you know, they said it was a swell, you know, it was a crescendo.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And then, so it's different labels, right? Like, but when you present it to the kid, like, they already know what that is.
For
you
sure.
Know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Right. Like, when I remember being in beginner percussion and we were going through, you know, 16th notes, it's, you know, we going in Christmas break, and they going one in. I was like, oh, yeah, I already know what that is. Right. And yeah. The kids were like, how do you know that? I was like, I couldn't fully explain. I was like, because in my mind, I'm like, y'all don't play drums every Sunday either. So it's just, it's one of those things where I connected. I remember being on the campus of Prairie View A&M University and going through my lessons and going into different ensembles and performing. And I'm depending on that memory and that muscle of like, oh, that's the approach. And so there was this performance aspect and musical aspect that I was pulling from a whole nother entry place. And, you know, for the most part, I've had people that they allowed that, they welcomed it, and it just made me trust it more rather than trying to devoid myself and then trying to tap into my, you know, classical formalid or, you know, world percussion mind. It was just like, no, it's Sunday morning. How do I make this song come across well?
As we take a break from our discussion, we're jumping into the segment called In Rotation. During this time, each of us will get an opportunity to share what we're currently listening to. Favorite artists, genre, album, playlist. If you have any recommendations, drop us a line on our social media platforms at PodTheScore or send us an email, podthescore@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
In rotation, folks. All right, so I'm pretty sure Justin put me on game to this artist, as he always has when it comes to some worship music and getting a little closer to the Lord, if you will. I was jamming some music, man, and this popped up on some release radar stuff, and this is Forrest Frank and Caleb Gordon dropped God Is Good, and I am... I'm a big fan. I have to admit this. I memorize, probably, you know, expected, but I memorize the rhythm and the melody before I actually internalize what the lyrics are actually saying. And I'm guilty of that because, you know, I'll sing some like some ranchera songs and it's about like heartbreak. And my wife's like, who broke your heart? Huh? Who, you know, so I was like, I actually don't know what I'm saying. I'm just singing, you know, but this one's really good, man. Immediately I got hooked with the melody. And so that's God Is Good by Forrest Frank. Justin, what you got?
All right. So Instagram is the way by which I come upon new music. Right. So I'm always looking through my Explore page. I'm always listening links to people send me. But there's this guy I follow named Brandon P. And he's a producer for some different hip hop artists and kind of like worship artists that I know. But he was having these kind of like jam sessions at his studio where they were taking trap influence kind of beats and chords and rhythms and putting them along like all the worship songs like Chris Tomlin stuff. And so somebody put on his live like, you need to do an album. So he did an album called Trap Worship, and it's Trap Worship Volume 2. He got Trap Worship Volume 1, and it's literally, I'm talking about, it's just amazing. The singers, the band, it's just this culmination of a different sound. It's almost kind of like a trap jazz that they got over with, you know, Jam Car, where they put a lot of hip hop stuff on top of, you know, jazz styling. So this is Trap Worship Volume 2. The first song on there, How Great Is Our God, is epic. And so, so that's what I've been listening to every week. That's what I'm jamming.
Love it. Sean, what you got for us?
I wrote both those down because now y'all making me want to be one with the Lord now.
Amen. Amen. And that's the show, everybody. That's the show.
I was at church this morning, I swear. I think I told Eric, so me and my wife really like this band. They're called, they're a Texas country band, I guess. And they were called Mike and the Moon Pies, and they just switched their name over to Silverada. I like country a lot. Like, it's just... Okay. I guess just being from Central Texas and everything. So they switched their name over to Silverada. They're just trying to go a little bit, I guess, a little bit more mainstream, go a little bit bigger. So, but they got this real cool song. It's a, man, anything dad, like dad stuff just hits me in the heart. So it's a song, I guess his dad passed away and he's talking about going to, the song's called Steak Night at the Prairie Rose. And they're talking about going to this, I guess, restaurant that has like a cover band. And the dad, you know, in the middle of the chorus, the dad's always saying, I'm going to see you up there someday. And, you know, the kid, I guess, because he's a singer and a guitarist. And then there at the end, he's talking about his dad again. His dad's already passed away. And he's kind of like saying, hey, I'm going to see you up there someday. Oh, man, hits me in the heart every time. So that's, I put that one on. And we've already seen this band a couple times, too. So every time it comes on, I'm like... Okay, all right. Let's
us crying in on the way to work.
He just explained the song, and I'm over here tear jerking.
Yeah, like, right? Like those, I don't know. Those are those things. We were watching. I was doing a movie night with my kids, and I was like, okay, what's the one thing that makes you like that gets you emotional? Because you know, I teach a lot of girls at choir, so they're like, oh, anything. So and so dies. I was like, okay, well, dad stuff every time. Like I can't hold it together every time dad stuff comes on. So, like, but yeah, that's my in rotation. Steak Night at the Prairie Rose. Silverado.
All right, we're back. So what I really want to dig into here is I think sometimes we do a really good job at the end of teaching our students in our programs, whether that's the end of the year concert, whether that's the final concert for our seniors or our eighth graders that's moving on. We tap into these other stylings and genres, but we never start the beginning there. And so what I'm interested in, just knowing your background, is how do you pull from other worlds and other genres of music that help navigate going into learning the quote unquote kind of foundational things, the traditional music stylings? Or what are you doing before then that's helping you navigate and helping those students navigate those areas of music as well?
Yeah, for sure. So I talked about it in my clinic, but and I don't think I talked about it in my background. So when I was teaching at my first gig at Wood Middle School, I just knew I was coming up short when it came to literacy. You know, some of my kids were super prepared. They, you know, that came from one area, and you know, some of the other kids maybe they were new to choir too, and I was just coming up short especially when I became the head director of the program. So I tapped into, you know, some friends that started their Kodai training, and it was back at Texas State where I got my degree too. So I tapped into my Kodai training, and you know, I was just trying to get better at teaching literacy, period, right? Like sight reading, really. So I was like, man, we're coming up short on sight reading. Like, my kids ain't reading well, and I'm just starting with here's do and here's re, and it's on the line, and here we go. Kind of an instrumental approach, and it's just not for me, I've learned it's just not a super sound approach to singing. So I after doing my Kodai stuff, I was like, okay, this makes more sense, right? Sound before symbol. And we draw from songs from different cultures. So sure, we can use American folk music, but what if you have primarily Latino population? Like, well, one of our teachers there, Gabby Montoya Steer, she's like, okay, well, I got this whole collection of this stuff, and I know this is really good for dotted quarter eighth note. Because you're going to be teaching that, hey, this comes from this song. Hey, this is really good for presenting half note. This is really good for presenting so to me. You know, that's kind of how the approach works. So, you know, if I'm teaching, just do, re, mi, mi, re, do, mi, re, do. Cool. I can use hot cross buns, but let's say all my, have like 20 of my kids are from Mexico. They didn't grow up with hot cross buns. Right. So what can we, like, how can I make it relevant to them? Well, let me find something with
they
me
did,
right.
But it was on a torta. Like, so, but you know what I mean?
They're like, hot cross buns. Right? So, I mean, just finding something, you know, relevant to them and tapping into that. And, you know, we've got other teachers that are like, hey, all my kids are of, we have, I don't know, like Middle Eastern immigrants here. So what can I tap into? Where can we find folk music from that? So it's not, you know, we find folk music from different cultures. All that, you know, coming in and saying is like, hey, we're going to start with folk music, and that's how we're going to present these things. And like we were talking about our different backgrounds, it's like, well, I know 16th notes because of this jam,
right?
Like, I know so to me because of this song. I know, you know, I know my diatonic scale because of this song, and that's how we're going to present those concepts. So, you know, that's what I always try to tap back into, is if I'm missing the mark with, I guess just point blank literacy or teaching, how can I tie it back to something that the kids are going to know.
Sean, I just gotta tap in here, because my spirit is stirring. I think when we have these conversations, me and Eric have heard that the reason these things are taught like this, the reason we resort to XYZ, is because we don't know, and we're not really trying to expand and teach anything else, right? We're just trying to stay in a comfortable position. But what I heard from you was, I wanted to improve the literacy of my kids. I wanted to make sure they sight read better. So you didn't go to this other form. You didn't kind of contextualize what was in your room to say, how can I stay complacent? You said, how can I move them up by bringing something they already know? And I think that is something that's important, because their sight reading is jumping, because you said, you know what, let me pull folk music, let me pull something that is melodically in their real life that then they can actually use, that when we're in the sight reading room and I'm giving signals and I'm talking about these things, they can resort to something, a real tool that they can hear that then helps them. I think that that's amazing. And I think it's very pivotal to what me and Eric talk about every time we get on this platform. We are not speaking towards, I'm not pulling the gospel music or the jazz stuff. Eric's not pulling his jazz and his love for hip hop into the music classroom to say we're not going to learn Randall Standridge. We're not going to learn how to play in E flat, F, and A flat. He's saying, I'm going to pull this in because this is actually going to open your ears and open your mind to see the connection of all of these things. It takes me back. Your dad, he playing all this rock stuff, but the heart of it, he said, you got to know these scales. So, like, to me, the worlds are already there. We just got to make a choice to bring those worlds together, in my mind.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, like, especially when I got to high school, where I was like, okay, there's going to be all this cool stuff I can do, and I'm going to pull from the grade four list, and the, you know, we're gonna sing some Haydn. And I think this year, like, bro, like, and then you just throw that Haydn in front of the kids,
or like,
why
do
I want that? Like, sir, why? Or what am I? My kids told me this year, it's like, sir, don't you think it's crazy that the mariachi plays all these songs that people know and we don't play, like, we don't sing any songs that people know? I was like, you're right. You know what? Like, what do you like? I can't contend with that. You're right. Right.
Boom.
So let's throw some other stuff in there. Right. Let's throw some more stuff in there to one, you know, you could say it's like, well, I'm going to throw them this bone so I can keep the kids engaged. Like, no, so they can be, well, it's really so they can engage with learning. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so they can grab these
concepts
from these songs.
You just said something very heavy.
Just said, that's what I'm saying.
Another one.
Sean,
it doesn't have to be just that. And I've heard that more than not. It's okay, I'll give you this, but I'll only give you this to be able, you know, then I'll, but we
yeah,
have
here's
to
your pop song at the end, you know, in May. It's like, bro, what happened like to September through April? Like, you're just not gonna throw them up. Just gonna sit there, you know, ruler to the hand until they get it right. Like,
literally,
no, like,
man. Yeah. I mean, I hear band directors do that with, I'm gonna release one stand tune. I'm gonna allow Hey Baby. Hey Baby's gonna come in the folder, but you have to focus on the UIL show. And it's like, and so, like, you brought that up, and I'm not against that, right? Like, you can use that as a tool, as a resource to expose both sides of the coin, but it shouldn't be the only reason to do so, because. And this goes for me, and Sean gave me a little comment the other day, because I've been trying to do myself sing more with mariachi. My dad has always done it. I've done it a few times, but I knew I was always pitchy and never really just started doing that. So I myself have been practicing with just karaoke versions with YouTube and Spotify, and because I want to get better at that. That's something that I genuinely want to now, in the space and the availability that I have, to learn how to genuinely teach mariachi. So as a traditionalist band director, what would you recommend to a person who is a band purist, a orchestra purist, or a choir purist that as now has been tasked or wants to learn how to implement mariachi, or vice versa? Because what you're great at, man, is that you can walk both lanes, right? You can literally stay in your room and work with the mariachi. You can literally stay in your room and conduct your choir, and you're versatile in that aspect. But I know we have listeners that only do said thing. But what if they want to entertain? Because I just got a text message last week. Band director in Louisiana wants to start a mariachi. Where do they start? What instruments do they buy? You know, all the things now, because people are recognizing this as a legit school classroom. So to break that apart for me, man, how would you help some of our listeners with that?
So, and then that's, you know, like I was saying, right after the clinic too, I don't teach mariachi right now too. So I think I had this one guy come up to me a couple times. He saw me in the exhibit hall. It's like, so if I'm buying instruments, I was like, dude, I haven't bought instruments in a long time, dude. I don't know. But I mean, I was like, go tap into this booth, tap into people that know what's going on. So I think, you know, immerse yourself in it, you know, throw on a playlist. I always see people all the time, cause I still have my foot in the, you know, the mariachi world. There's a group on Facebook, and every once in a while, a kid will hop in there and be like, I want to start playing professionally this year. They're probably, you know, a teenager.
Yeah.
What song should I start learning? Boom. People start throwing them, you know, hey, there's this playlist. This is a good one for standards. Just start finding, you know, just if you wanted to learn how to to run, you know, you would go, you would Google running store and, you know, try to just join a running group or something like that. So just start getting, immerse yourself into the music, and maybe not even immerse, just start exposing yourself to that music. And even when you start it, I think being honest with the kids is the best thing too, you know? So, if I were to relate it to my own stuff, like, I'll tell, I think my biggest deficiency, and I'm being like hypercritical, but my biggest deficiency as a teacher, as a choral director, is teaching the female voice, the treble voice. So I always tell it, when we go into our PLGs as a district, I'm like, hey, I need more help with sopranos, you know, up above this thing, placement for altos. Like what should I be telling them? I can't demonstrate because it comes across as a guy singing, you know, as a male singing those things. Yeah. I'm coming up short like that. So when I'm honest with my colleagues, and even when I'm honest with my kids, like, hey, I'm going to go get you a better resource, and then I'll come back and relay that, because I know I can teach it once I know it. So we actually had, like I told you, we had several directors in high school that just kind of bounced around. And one time the band director was teaching us, and his, you know, his instinct, he was a percussion guy, was to turn on the Met. He's like, okay, well, we're going to get this thing right. Like, here it goes.
All right, Sean. Not too much stuff, brother.
Yeah,
those percussion like, okay. guys, man. I'll tell you.
He's like, oh, we're gonna get these tempos right for sure. Like, if nothing else,
no, right, but very down, up, down, up, down, up.
So he tapped into what he knew, but at the same time, he was like, well, I'm not real sure. So, but I do know this, so I'm gonna help you out with this, and I'm gonna go find out because I went to college with so and so who's teaching over here now. So if you're just, you know, you have your resources. We see everybody at TMEA every single year. Yeah. You know, make those connections, talk to somebody. I just had a buddy that I play with in my our cover group, the Mariachi Entertainment System cover group we play with. She's doing mariachi now, and she's always done. She did elementary, and now she's doing band. But she's like, hey, I'm having trouble with the armonía, with the rhythm, doing a polka rhythm. And it's m-tap, m-tap, m-tap. And when you think about it, if they're middle school, like the syncopation or like understanding the space of the downbeat is challenging. But you think, like, just because like you went to school with some people that could just do it right away when they were like 18, 20, 22, that it shouldn't be a challenge. And I remember going through that when I was teaching middle school. I was like, hey, well, why are we not understanding that? But when you break it down, it's like, oh, actually, like one and for 2 minutes, it's kind of difficult when you think about it for, for a 12-year-old. So right. I was like, hey, well, we're going to break it down like this. Let's have them play, fill that space. Like play one and two and one and two and then take it away, externalize the rest. You know, like if you tap in, just her asking me, who's been doing it for a while and taught it, that probably helped her. Like, okay, that makes sense, right? Like understanding an eighth rest at 12 years old is probably kind of difficult. So this is how we'll break it down. So if I were to go and if they threw me, hey, like, hey, you're going to teach a beginner band. I'd be like, well, okay, well, I got brass, I guess. And I understand some rhythms. And after that, like all these clefs and woodwinds, I'd be having some trouble. So I'd be tapping into my, you know, to my buds that have done that before, you know. That's just ask for the help, you know.
He's talking about stuff that people are not going to be doing, man.
Like, see, that's my point. Like, he was pretty much like, Google it. Like, right. Well, you know, right. Like if you really want to know, the answers are there. You know, and we're past that time of, you know, I have no idea where to even start. And it's like, okay, well, first go ask, you know, like literally first, you know, your immediate community. But we understand some folks might be in silos. Take it to social media, take it, you know, and start thinking about the 6 degrees of separation. I'm pretty sure in the music world, it's more like 2 or 3. And we really are like that. If you find somebody that's like, man, this person, let me connect you with this. Ask them, you know what I mean? Literally. And I'm still like that. Justin's still like that. And I can tell Sean is like that. It's one of those just like, you want to know? Here's everything I know. I don't know everything, but here's the strategies that I've implemented and they've worked. Yeah. So try them and let me know how they worked out and stick with it, you know, because that's what's missing, man. And I want folks to vice versa. Like, there's still the perception of mariachi sometimes is, oh, yeah, I hear them in a restaurant and they're out of tune. You know, and it's like so that's what that sound is. And it's like, no.
It's much bigger than that.
When I can tell you the top three groups from both 5A and 6A this past weekend, they're doing a lot more than doing that. You know, literally, I think all six of those groups are probably triple tonguing with their trumpets. They're playing. I'm talking about completely hard dexterity passages in the violin, armonia's going crazy, harps are doing solos. I mean, it's literally like this level of musicianship. Like
musically mature things,
oh my
right?
God, like, that I think, I sent it to my sister, and she's like, what pro group is this? And I was like, that's a high school. You know, and it's like, and so just those, that recognition, man. So I'm curious on the other side of things, like what have you done in your choir program that kind of reflect more what the kids are listening to? Have you allowed space for them to bring you suggestions? Have you performed different things that might be unorthodox? Talk to us about some of those approaches.
Yeah, so I think specifically for my community, so I'm on the south side, right, of San Antonio. You know, we check all the boxes for Title I, you know, times five, right? So pretty much our demographic's pretty similar to the inner city. We're just a little bit more, you know, out in the country a little bit too. So when it comes to that stuff, I'm always trying to, like, how can I incorporate, I guess, like, plainly, how can I incorporate mariachi, or how can I incorporate Latino sounds into my stuff? So how can I get involved in that side? Because really my whole goal is that I think singing makes kids better musicians, and a love for singing is the biggest gift I can give to any kid, right? So like you were saying, like, you want to be a better singer, and I always tell the kids, like, 9 times out of 10, if I get an adult and I go out there, I'm like, oh, I'm a choir director, I'm a high school choir director. Oh man, I wish I could sing. You know, I did this instead. And everybody wishes they can sing. So I'm always trying to tap into the best way that I can get kids singing. So, you know, being in our community, the community that I teach in, I'm like, hey, how can I incorporate, maybe can I get the mariachi to come accompany us for this tune, or can I get us to sing on their event? Like, they do a Dia de los Muertos event, and it's a pretty big little festival that he does every single year. How can I get my kids in on that? So I'm always trying to find ways to tap into that, and you know, successfully or not, like it's a task sometimes, you know, to get up there, because if I'm just being a regular, you know, quote unquote choir director, I'm searching J.W. Pepper and I'm looking Mexican folk music, and it's, you know, so it can be cheesy sometimes, and it's like, you know, it ain't great. So like, okay, well,
songs for Hispanic characters. Yeah. Go
search. And you're like, oh man, like, I can't give this to these kids. Like, no, dude. Like, so you know,
like, Mister, no,
it's not gonna cut it,
sir. Come on, sir. no, sir. Yeah. So you know, just trying to tap into those, you know, just something that's gonna to feed them musically, right? And we're still gonna do, right, we just had UIL, so like I mentioned a Haydn, we're still gonna do our classical, you know, like I'll throw a spiritual in, because I love spirituals too, like personally, it's just something that I love. And I'm throwing in the academic music, but I'm also trying to cultivate a love for music too, because if I'm not doing that, like, what am I teaching for, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And especially with the things that you said that you and your wife are still doing, right? Like, you're in a cover band, you know what I mean? Like, and your wife's gigging, and you're doing music that does not reflect what you just said, that academic space of structured music in our educational spaces right now. And the more that, you know, I can still think of, like, if you wanted to do commercial music, there was maybe 5 universities in the entire United States that you would go and do, right? Like, immediately people think Berkeley, right? And then some people think the University of Miami, and you know, and just why? Like, why do we only have 4 or 5 that allow you to do, you know, to create your own music, or the Berkeley Jazz Ensemble, or the Berkeley Experiment Ensemble that allows for R&B and student arrangers and just music making? And it's like, what if we just let kids make music? Like, what if we create that space? And I want to ask this, because I'm pretty sure the answer, when you do those things that aren't the academic version of doing choir, when you implemented these new strategies, these new songs, these new genres, did it hurt what you did in the academic space or the academic repertoire?
So, like, I can easily say, like, well, we didn't get to this that year, you know, but I've already, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint, right? So like, once you lay roots somewhere, the end goal is not to be doing these grade 6s, because like, what for me, like, what are my kids going to get out of that? That's going to be for my ego more than anything. So right. If I'm not getting to that by the end of the year, then, you know, I'm okay. You know, I think I posted the other day, like, we took a pretty big on the surface, we took a pretty big L at UIL this past, a few weeks ago. So this is my first time taking a varsity, and like, legit, I should have wavered my kids. I should have put them down to a non-varsity, but that would have been the third year in a row. And like, I was like, nah, we're going and doing this, right? So, I took the personal hit, right? You go Texas Music Forums, Sean Rodriguez. Okay. But what they don't know is that I also took in, like I was talking about the mariachi kids, I took in a couple of mariachi kids that are true beginners and they're reading pretty well diatonically. And when we got to altered pitches and altered pitches, they had trouble with it. So, all that to say is like, it's not this, the whole thing is not for my ego. And I think when we're thinking about that, it's like, okay, well, if you can put that to the side and give the kids a better experience, they're going to come out on top, right? You get more Erics, you get more Justins, you get more Sean's out there, because they're going to go and, they're going to go
study
and
do music.
Right. Yeah. They're going to study music. Right. Yep. And then they will get those things at some point. Yep. Right. Like, I eventually got to where, I love Bach, but I didn't,
right.
My dad, like we were talking about my dad sure. wasn't playing Bach in the right. truck, sure. On the way. Like sure. we were listening to a lot of Stevie Ray Vaughan and right. that, but that like, I love Bach now. And it, but all those things got me to that point, and it was because of, playing trumpet and taking a little bit of lessons, but like really starting mariachi. It's because of learning how to sing. But I also joined the contemporary group at Texas State too. And so there was a little bit of exposure to the early stuff. But also we did, some contemporary stuff too. Mm-hmm. Stuff with no sheet music, reading, just lyrics and okay, hey, you're going to go up to the third on this and stuff like that. So you're going to get more of those kinds of musicians if you expose it to them, put your ego to the side, in my opinion.
Well,
wow.
Justin.
Wow, wow, wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we're taking an offering right now. And I think what you said, once again, I just think this is just, it's affirmation for what we're doing here on The Score. We are not saying tear down the establishment. We are not saying the kids do not need to be well-trained and well-versed in what music offers. We're saying that what they bring to the table is a building block to getting them wherever you're trying to get them to go. And I think what you said, it really hits home, is you got to remove your ego. It's not to say we don't want to compete. It's not to say that we don't want to hold our programs to a high standard, but it's understanding the life of a program and what are you trying to do? What is the ultimate goal? Because I didn't go study music because my band director, Mr. Taylor, was having us play all of this, grade 5 and 4 stuff. I mean, we did those things, but it was standing at the car and listening to him, listening to, different, George Albright and listening to hear Anita Baker and all. And it's like, whoa, you listen to this? He's like, yeah, that's boom, boom, boom. And I think that helped me cultivate this and that I can be this and get to that. I don't have to relinquish this part of who I am. I don't have to let go. You don't have to release, your dad and y'all jamming out Stevie Ray Vaughan, like, and having that, not just having that memory, but having that melodic template in your brain. Like, so rich that you can go there, that you can be like, oh, this kind of reminds me of that song. And so I just think that this was just another reminder that as we close out the year, for those of us that are already in the prepping stages of the show and getting, rosters together and auditions and all of that, this is the opportunity to pour into this part of your program and say, What do my students already bring to the table that will help us get over that hump during marching season where we keep getting 2-1-2 or straight twos? How can I get to that one by making them feel necessary in the creating and the learning and the development of music? So, yeah, this is...
Man, so there were so many things in this episode that I wanted to, stop there. That's an episode in itself. For example, right. The way you refer to yourself, your identity, you're Chicano. It's like when people hear, like, wait, Central Chicanos listen to country music? And it's like, yeah. Like, literally, if you go to a Tejano bar, man, 20% of that music, if not more, is going to be country mixed in. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not a separation of identity. I mean, arguably, I was raised around that. You know what I mean? Like, if you hear a Jay Pettis album, he always threw in some type of R&B or soul track in there or some type of country song in there, even if it was one or two sprinkled in some type of album. And so country is Tejano, and for you to refer to yourself as Chicano, that's a big identity component there too. And then just your willingness, man, that what I hear throughout you talking about Just remove that ego. Yeah, you know what? You can go and use your traditional ways of assessing me as a music educator and check my music forms, but can you go survey my kids and how well they felt after the end of the semester? Did they grow musically? And then the things you talked about, even about recognizing and connecting lived experiences in home music, I always challenge that notion. Like, you know, it's like, a major four, there's the wedding song. And it's like, okay, well, why don't we say it's the end of most mariachi songs too? You know what I mean? It's like it's the 5-1. And like, my son's going to recognize that. I would have recognized that much better and much quicker and sooner if you relate something culturally. And then the other part, man, and this was my time as an assistant principal. I was over our ELLs and working through the ESL program and obviously the TELPASS. And I remember I had to give a professional development and helping our teachers on just encouraging our students and trying to pass TELPASS. So I actually tapped into a lot of my fraternity brothers that were ESL students, the majority of their K-12 experience. And so I told them, I was like, hey, man, talk to me about some really good teachers. What was the experience? And then talk to me about some really bad teachers that ruined the experience. And then the really bad was they'd roll out a TV for us and say, don't speak Spanish. You can only speak English. And what you did and kind of modeled, and I'm tying in these two kind of academic situations, is when ELLs, when you use the Spanish language as a resource and a tool to then learn the English language versus saying, remove that, forget that, only do this now. And it's the same thing. It's like you're relating, you're bringing things from home to saying, okay, you remember how you do that in there? Well, guess what? This is what that sound is. This is that interval. This is this. And then people are like, oh, man, I know that like the back of my hand. Why didn't you say that? You know, because I can still get remembered. People are like, hey, Eric, you know that Beatles song? And I'm like, no, I don't know that one. How do you not know that? And I'm like, well, do you know that Fito Olivares song? And they're like, well, no, I don't even know who that is. I was like, my point exactly. You can't expect me because that's not my music, you know? Yeah. That's why I'm like, man, I picked up so many little nuggets about that hopefully, man, and I know we will get a chance to talk and get to know each other even more, because I really love what you're doing and I want more folks to be willing to do this. And I think we're kind of going to like this cusp of music education of folks coming in and just saying, you know what? I'm going to try this. Like literally just, I got the time, I got the space, let me throw this in here. You know what I mean? Like I don't have to overcompete certain things. And if you're thinking if mariachi truly does use choral techniques, just go watch one of our state contests when they're singing four-part harmony and modulating into different keys. And I'm sitting there like, oh my goodness. And I'll memorize on top of that. You know, they're not reading music. It's actually not allowed to have a stand for any of the varsity groups with the Texas Association of Mariachi Education contests. So you could tell, man, I picked up a lot from you. I learned a lot from you, and I'm grateful for you, brother. I'm pretty sure folks are going to want to get in touch with you, man. So what's the best way people can reach out to you?
Sure. So I'm on Instagram, but it's SRDZ sing and lift, like sing in the letter and lift. I'm pretty quick on Instagram. I'm on Facebook, Sean Rodriguez. My email, srodriguez7988@swisd.net. I'm pretty good about answering emails most of the time. So just throw me a line. I like helping out, like, you know, even if it's a little quick thing, you know. So, either avenue.
Man, close this out real quick, Sean. You got any last little feedback, any last little nuggets you want to drop on folks just to close out the show?
Yeah, sure. Just keep an open mind. I think, like I was saying at the beginning, I was like, well, can we make this meta thing for the title of the episode? But really, just keep an open mind and keep accountability on yourself. Like, if you're trying to teach, you know, whatever the discipline is, you know, be honest. If you're coming up short on something, find something to make it relatable. So that's find something to make it relatable to what they know. That makes you a better teacher, which makes them enjoy music more. And what are we doing this all for anyway, right? So you know, we're trying to instill this love of music in kids, or an appreciation of music for kids. So just be accountable. Keep yourself accountable. If you're coming up short, find someone who knows the stuff. Tap into those resources. This is a good resource, right? You always find hear good episodes, you know, and good interviews from very knowledgeable people in their fields, you know, as well.
Love it, man. Thank you so much for joining us, folks. And if you got any questions for him, please, like, you know, hit him up. We literally, the premise of this episode was go find those folks, and he's offered the help and the resources and an ear sometimes, and sometimes what we need. So thank you for tuning in. We hope you have a great day and a great week.
This has been another production of The Score. Connect with us on social media at PodTheScore. Send us an email, podthescore@gmail.com, or visit our website, revivalmusicproject.org. If you've enjoyed this episode, do us a huge favor. Rate and review us. This will help us reach even more listeners. Intro music by Justin McLean. The rotation and outro music by Ben Borges. And as always, let's continue to impact these lives through the vehicle of music.